Yasoda Nandana, Rajanarandana, Yasoda Nandana, Yamuna Tira. Yamuna Tira Jaya Randa Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Namachar Hardas Takoki Jai, Premsikha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaitika Dadar Shusti Gaur Bhakti Vrindagi Jai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gova Govida Shama Kunda Radhika Digiri Gavradan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadap Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananda Kodi Vaishnava Vrindagi Jai, Samavetta Bhakti Vrindagi Jai, Go Premanandi. All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Banaya Krishna Prasna Buddha Shimani Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamani Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paschata Desha Tadane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Insananda Sri Advaita Gadadar Shusti Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 14 Verse 37 Prapancham nis prapanchopi vidambayasi bhutale prapanna janatananda sandoham pratitum prabho. Prapancham, that which is material. Nisprapancha, completely transcendental to material existence. Api, although vidambayasi, you imitate. Bhutale, on the surface of the earth. Prapanna, who are surrendered. Janata, of people. Ananda Sandoham, great variety of different kinds of ecstasies. Pratitum, in order to spread. Prabhu, O Master. Translation, my dear Master, although you have nothing to do with material existence, you come to this earth and imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees. Purport Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that just as a lamp does not seem to shine as brightly in sunshine as it does in the shade, or as a diamond does not seem as brilliant on a silver platter as it does on a plate of blue glass, the Lord's pastimes as Govinda do not seem as amazing in the transcendental abode of Vaikuntha as they do within this material realm of Maya. Lord Krishna comes to the earth and acts towards his pure devotees exactly like a devoted son, boyfriend, husband, father, friend, and so on. And within the darkness of material existence, these brilliant liberated pastimes give unlimited exit to the surrendered devotees of the Lord. In his Krishna, Supreme Personality of God, Srila Prabhupada quotes Lord Brahma as follows: I can also understand that your appearance as a small cowherd boy, a child of the cowherd man, is not at all a material activity. You are so much obliged to by their affection that you are here to enthuse them with more loving service by your transcendental presence. So here Brahma talks about prapancha, or the material world, and also nisprapancha, that actually he doesn't belong to the material world at all. So he appears within the material world, and he acts as if he's part of the material world, even though he isn't. And in this way he gives joy to his devotees. So what this means is that he has an appearance of being a material person in that he has various relationships which look similar to those in the material world. So he has friendship and love and affection in similar ways that parents and their children have love, or friends have love, etc. So this looks very similar to that in the material world. So because of that, the word vidambayasi, which means to imitate, is used. But we should not think that the word imitate here means that it is false, that he is putting on a show which is actually false. We can say rather that the activities in the material world that normal people follow, those are the false activities. They are the imitation of his activities. So vidambayasi is used in the sense only that they are similar to the activities of people in the material world. But actually, they are the source of all the activities that we have. The activities of the material world are an imitation of the activities in the spiritual world, trying to derive the same type of bliss. But unfortunately, it's quite different, and they don't. So because they're similar, but they give the wrong result, then they are the actual imitation. So in no way are the activities of the Lord an imitation of something else. His activities are all true. They are all genuine. So he's not putting on an act when he doesn't actually have that feeling or whatever. So when he is the son of Yasoda, and he feels fear, or he runs away from Mother Yasoda, or he feels anger at Mother Yasoda, it's not he's just pretending, and actually he's completely detached from the whole affair. He actually has these feelings as an expression of his affection for Mother Yasoda. So it's not an act or an imitation of something else. But it looks similar to the actions of people in the material world. And because of that, there is a confusion. People will say, oh, Krishna acts like an ordinary person, so he is an ordinary person. But actually, it is quite different. So it is, he is nisprapancho. He does not belong to the material world at all, though he has activities which are similar to those in the material world. So Krishna is the most blissful person, and any aspect of this material world that appears like bliss is a dull reflection of that. When we experience any happiness in the material world, that is a material representation of the ananda in the spiritual world. The experience is somewhat similar, and we may get similar effects. For instance, in the spiritual world, they're experiencing this intense bliss, as a result of which they may faint or cry or do certain activities in ecstasy. In the material world, due to a relationship with another person, we develop some happiness. And we may also have symptoms similar, such as crying or whatever, to express our joy. So in this way there is similarity, but it is different because the activities of the material world are directed towards a person with a material body out of ignorance. And the result finally is suffering. We end up with some suffering. Whereas in the spiritual world, all these activities end up in bliss, continual bliss. So there's a big difference between them. Krishna has relationships that are similar to those in the material world, but they are nisprapancha. They are completely non-material, and therefore we cannot project any fault upon those activities and say that, he's doing material activities like us and subject to the same faults. It's completely false. Why does he do this? He does this to give ananda or bliss to the devotees. The whole purpose of Krishna's activities are an expression of his bliss, which expands to the bliss of his devotees. His devotees also experience bliss. Why should he do this? Because he is most merciful, and he likes to see the devotees experience bliss. So when Krishna comes into the material world, his primary purpose is to give bliss to the devotees. There's two types of devotees. There's the eternal associates, who of course are already getting bliss in the spiritual world, but they also get bliss in the material world when they perform activities, and it is a little bit different because Krishna is different ages. There are demons present sometimes, there is prolonged separation sometimes, etc. So there is a variation in the bliss that is available in the pastimes in the material world. So even the nitya siddhas from the spiritual world, they also are eager to participate in these pastimes and experience bliss. And the other type of devotee are those who are sadhana siddhas, or approaching that. So the devotees in the material world long for the association of Krishna, and they long to participate in his pastimes. So this is the opportunity they get. When Krishna appears as avatar in the material world, they are allowed to join in those pastimes. And this way they get great bliss by direct association. Of course, even without that, the Lord appears internally to those devotees, and they derive bliss that way. But there's always a preference for external manifestation of the Lord. So the Lord fulfills that, and he appears as avatar, and he allows those devotees to participate in his pastimes. So in this way, these two types of devotees get bliss. And then there's a third type of devotee who's not even siddha. He's doing sadhana. and he's attained a high position, or maybe he's in bhava stage. So these also, when Krishna comes into the material world, they also get great benefit from these activities of the Lord, by his direct appearance in the Lord, the material world. They become stimulated to advance further. And even if the Lord is not present, the devotees that appear afterwards, by hearing about those activities as presented in the Bhagavatam, they also get filled with bliss and they are inspired to progress towards prema. So that's the primary function of Krishna's appearance in the material world. And the other aspects, such as killing the demons like Kamsa, are secondary things. They also give bliss to the devotees and the devatas, etc. But these are secondary reasons for the Lord's appearance in the material world. The primary reason is to give bliss to the devotees. That's his main reason. So the secondary reasons, of course, involve giving satisfaction to persons who may not be directly related with Krishna, those who are following Dharma. So in Bhagavad Gita it says, the Lord comes when there is a disruption of Dharma, and he comes and he restores Dharma. So this makes people happy also. So, of course, they're not directly devotees. Many of them are simply following Dharma, but when Dharma is restored by Krishna, then they become inspired by Krishna as well. So even those who are not direct sadhakas of Krishna, they get inspiration from the activities of Krishna when he comes and get some joy. So in this way, even those following karma yoga get some advantage. And of course then we have persons like the jnanis and the yogis. They also get advantage. So the Atmarama verses, even the Atmaramas, those who realize Brahman, that when they hear the activities of Krishna, then they become attracted to Krishna. So this is an opportunity for those practicing jnana and yoga to suddenly become inspired to do bhakti yoga, because they can see the wonderful nature of Krishna's activities in his beautiful form, etc. So in this way, Krishna benefits all the people following Dharma or jnana or yoga and bhakti, as well as those who are siddhas or those who are nitya siddhas. So all types of people benefit. But even the demons get benefit. Even the materialists who are not favorable to the Lord at all and not following Dharma, they also get benefit from Supreme Lord's appearance in the material world. It is a little more indirect. Those who are favorable to the Lord, obviously, they directly appreciate the Lord and they get some benefit from that. And if they're devotees, they get more benefit. So those who are demons, obviously, they don't want to appreciate the Lord. They get less benefit, but still, when Krishna comes, they also get benefit, because in spite of their hatred of the Lord, they also become attracted to him. So this is the unique feature of Krishna as compared to other forms like Rama or Narsimha or Vishnu. Even the demons, because of Krishna's attractive form and beauty and name, they also become attracted to Krishna in spite of their hatred. And they become purified by that attraction of absorption. So even the demons get benefit from the appearance of Krishna in the material world. And we see that ultimately they also get bliss, because they get killed by the Lord and they go to the spiritual world also. So everybody gets great benefit from the appearance of Krishna in the material world. It covers all types of people, from the extreme demons to the highest devotees. Everybody gets experience of bliss by the pastimes of Krishna in this material world. So this shows the great expertise of Krishna, how he can satisfy everybody and give them the highest benefit, even those who are unwilling to get it. This is the nature of Krishna. So, but particularly, the highest bliss is experienced by those who are genuine devotees. So this verse is Prapanna Janata Ananda Sandoham. Especially to give joy to those devotees who are surrendered, those who are most favorable to him. Those are the ones that get the highest bliss of all. Special bliss. And who are the highest ones? Highest ones are those devotees who are there in the spiritual world, the nitya siddhas such as Nanda and Yasoda and the cowherd boys and the gopis, etc. They're the most surrendered and they get the highest bliss of all. Krishna comes into the material world and he displays pastimes with those eternal associates. And through that, they derive the greatest bliss, and Krishna also gets the greatest bliss. That we could say that's the primary reason. And then besides that, we get all the other types of devotees in different stages. They also get bliss, and Krishna derives bliss from that. So ultimately, everything is an expression of the bliss of the Supreme Lord. And that bliss ultimately has no motive. It is causeless. It is simply the nature of the Lord to be blissful. And Krishna is the highest form, so therefore naturally he has the highest bliss. So it is natural that he wants to express that bliss to others. And so that takes the form of displaying pastimes. He does that in the spiritual world. And then he also comes into the material world to do that, as we see here in this case. Brahma has a very nice realization of the nature of Krishna, his special position, and how he spreads this bliss to his great devotees.
As we know that the bliss is, spiritual bliss is spiritual only, but how to categorize this? There is a greatest bliss.
Well, it's according to the devotees and the intensity of their prema.
But as it is spiritual, all the bliss are, transcendental and beyond the three
minutes. Yeah. So we on our own, we can't, with a material mind, we cannot analyze and understand it. So therefore the scriptures give the categories and the different grades of people. And that is what is presented here in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, the different devotees who have different intensities of bliss. And then ultimately we find the gopis are at the top, and they get the most bliss, and Krishna gets the most bliss, and therefore pastimes of the gopis and the Rasa-lila become the center of the Bhagavatam because of that.
But like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they never feel that there's something is lacking in our bliss.
No.
Because they feel that is greatest for them.
Yeah. So from the point of view of each devotee, he is fully satisfied with his particular type of bliss. From the objective point of view, then we categorize as, into different rasas and different grades of bliss, etc., and different intensities of prema. But that is not useful for those particular devotees that have that attained that particular status. They're fully satisfied with that particular type of bliss. So they don't aspire for anything else.
So only in the material world only we can categorize this, not in the spiritual world. Only material world we can categorize this kind of bliss, that this is better, this is...
Well, we can objectively analyze it. They don't analyze things in the spiritual world like that. So this is for our benefit, to show the different types of devotees, etc., and intensity of their bliss. And of course, it's an inspiration to aspire for the highest bliss also. Well, prolonged separation in the material world, if it ends in meeting, causes bliss because people want to meet again. So when they meet, they experience a higher bliss. They have some expression like that, separation, makes the love stronger or something like that. I don't know, some expression like that in the material world. And familiarity breeds contempt is also there. So in the spiritual world, of course, it's a little different because
the separation as part of their spiritual pastimes, and at the grief that they experience during that period is not material. It is one type of experience within the bliss, whereas in the material world that may not be so, because the separation may not end up in bliss. It may just continue to be separation and end like that. In the spiritual world, the separation ends with meeting and then higher bliss. So that separation and the feelings experienced there are part of prema and nothing else, which appear like suffering. So within the rasas we find there is karuna rasa and things like that, which are little, have a negative connotation, soka, lamentation, etc. But these are rasas, secondary rasas. But they only arise in relation to the primary rasa. So during separation, these secondary rasas may manifest, and then when the meeting takes place, then the primary rasa predominates again. So it's only part of the spiritual variety, we can say, that separation.
Is there any prolonged separation in
the No. So that's one difference with the material world. There is a prolonged separation. In Krishna's pastimes, there is when he goes to Mathura and Dwarka. That does not take place in the spiritual world. There is temporary separations in pastimes or during the day or whatever, during the night.
Getting awareness about an object. And in case of spirituality, you see, the supreme object is Krishna, and they are the pursuit of acquiring knowledge about that object. But then eventually they don't...
Well, when we say jnana yoga, then or jnana, the process of jnana, etc., we mean particularly the impersonal aspect, not knowledge of Bhagavan. If it's knowledge of Bhagavan, it's part of bhakti. So jnana yoga, its distinguishing feature is to attain Brahman and impersonal liberation. So that's their quest for jnana. It's a certain type of jnana. So the devotee also needs jnana, and he also gets jnana in the sense of he reads scriptures, he reads Bhagavatam, and he gets jnana there. But that's not the same jnana. That is knowledge about Krishna. And through that, he gets prema. So the jnana of the yogi or the jnani leads to Brahman realization only, not bliss, only peace. So the word jnana has two meanings, one for the devotees and one for the impersonalists.
Guru Maharaj, in the spiritual world, every soul has an intimate and personal relationship with the Lord, which means that everyone has a personal feeling and face-to-face seeing the Lord.
Well, there may be those who are more fortunate have rasa, and they directly see the Lord. Those who have weaker relationship with the Lord may not have developed to the extent of rasa and not have a direct relationship with the Lord. They have a type of rati, like shanta rati or something like that. So they don't directly see the Lord, but they are in the spiritual world, and they have a relationship which is rather indirect with the Lord. They don't have any material desires, no material karmas, etc., and they have a spiritual body in most cases. So we can have some persons like that, some jivas like that as well, due to the type of sadhana they did or their particular goal that they want. If they want sarupya, they can get sarupya, spiritual body like the Lord, but not necessarily have a direct relationship with the Lord because they didn't aspire for that. So they get that, and they meditate on the Lord, and they have some type of happiness that way. But it is no direct service. So it's a result of their sadhana. Yeah. What's that? Yeah. Well, the very nature of bhakti is like that. That one, the nature of bhakti and surrender, one is one feels very lowly or whatever like that. That's what part of the nature of surrender itself. So in any type of bhakti, that is also there. Of course, there may be, spiritually speaking, let's say, vibhachari bhavas like pride manifesting or something like that. But in general, the devotees are always in the attitude of serving the devotees of the devotees of the devotees as well. So they don't want to surpass others, whatever like that. They have a very humble attitude. What?
Devotee of servant of the servant of the devotee. Like you were saying sometime before that if we have a direct relationship, the indirect relationship with the Lord is kind of a weaker person. So in our parampara, did we follow the rule of servant of the servant of the servant? So doesn't weaken the rasa between us and the Lord?
If it's serving the servant? Not necessarily. It depends on the consciousness of the particular person and their relationship and so on.